Welcome to Refresh, a podcast designed to revive, recharge, and renew your faith and give you the tools to follow Jesus. Refresh comes to you from the Salvation Army in Gwinnett County, Georgia. We meet in person every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or online on Facebook and YouTube at Sal Army Gwinnett. We are excited that you have joined us this week and pray that God will bring His Word to life. And now, for our speaker.
Man, that's a rough crowd. You guys think it's a Happy New Year? I'm just checking. It's 2025. I mean, can you believe it? I wrote it down like 12 times today on their dot. I can't believe it's 2025. My goodness. Well, listen, I am very excited for our new adherents and soldiers and junior soldiers. What a great way to start off the new year. I mean, I don't know if I can't remember how we planted it. It landed on this particular day, but I'm sure glad it did because it really makes makes the first day of the year, the first Sunday of the year, really special. Well, you may know this, or maybe not. If you follow traditional church calendar, I know all of you do, you know. But if you follow the traditional church calendar, you'll know that today is something, and it is officially, I mean, it's like official, it's a title, officially the end of Christmas today. Yeah. I know, cue the violins, you know, and a collective, yeah, okay, all right, let's see where we are today, okay. But today, actually, it really is the last official day of Christmas. Now, I know there's actually some much debate on when to take down the decorations, right? And for some folks, they probably just say, you know what, let's just leave them up, right, all year long. And listen, I get it because, you know, I kind of enjoy the feeling of Christmas too. But to be truthful, if we let them up all year long, we probably wouldn't have that feeling as much as we do during Christmas. It's like when one of my bell ringers said, I sure wish we rang bells every day. And I said, but then it wouldn't be special. It wouldn't be special anymore. Oh, that's true, Captain. That's true. Yeah. Well, there actually is, like I said, an actual day on the calendar that Christmas is officially over. And it officially ends, you probably guessed it, on the 12th day of Christmas. 12 days from December 25th is the end of the Christmas season. And it just so happens that today is actually the 12th day of Christmas, which means, if we can go in and bring in the 12 drummers drumming, I'm just kidding, they're not coming, but we should all be getting 12 drummers drumming, right? That's what the song says. But of course, we know that the 12 drummers drumming in that song symbolize the 12 statements of faith that are found in the Apostles' Creed, is what that is. And ironically, and maybe not so ironic, we had our own declare our statements of faith just a moment ago. Now, the 12th and final day is also known as Epiphany. It was mentioned just a moment ago, Epiphany Sunday, or Epiphany, I should say. And then in the church, the first Sunday of the year is always called Epiphany Sunday, regardless where it falls in the 12 days of Christmas. But it also just so happens that today is the 12th day, and it falls on Epiphany Sunday. They're on the same day. And so we even have songs about this day. We sing about them. And we often sing about it during Christmas time, but it's actually about today, about here. And so maybe this song is familiar to you. I'm not going to sing it, but I'll kind of just, you know, we three kings of war, right? Yes, this one rings a bell. You know the song. You know, you don't want to suffer through it with me. And so this song, We Three Kings, is what we call it. You see, this song has five verses to it. So it's got five verses, and I will not be singing those all for you today. But it's got five verses, and it is a retelling of the short story that we just read in Matthew chapter 2 by Lee. Thank you very much for doing that. Now, the first, if you were to go through it, the first verse, what that does is it introduces the three kings and their intent. It kind of introduces us to the characters. And then the second verse, they arrive, these three kings arrive, and they present their first gift of gold. The third verse, they present the second gift of frankincense. The fourth verse, they present the third gift, you guessed it, of myrrh. And then the fifth verse is them collectively worshiping the newborn king. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. However, it's probably the chorus that really draws us into this song. You know, it's like we go through the verses, but when we get to that chorus, we kind of lean in just a little bit, maybe on the edge of our seats, because you see, the chorus explains everything. It just explains it all. The chorus is the reason why we have an Epiphany Sunday. O star of wonder, star of light, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Now, we spend a lot of time talking about the Magi on today. But interestingly enough, Epiphany isn't about the Magi. It's about the star. And if it's about the star, that leaves us with this question. Where is it leading us? Let's pray together. So, Father, we do pray for your clarity of Scripture. Well, Father, we pray for our hearts and minds to be filled with your truth and your wisdom. And Lord, I pray that I only speak the words that are true from your gospel. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Matthew chapter 2. That's where I'm going to kind of be hanging out today. So right there in Matthew chapter 2, and right at the very beginning, the first 12 verses, and this is a very familiar scripture. We've read this scripture. We know the story. You know, we've reenacted the story. We've got plays about that. You know, they're in the major seat. We know what story this is. And listen, there is a lot that we can actually take away from Matthew 2. I mean, first of all, we could just take it straight as historical face value, right? This actually happened. They really came. The Magi see a star. They go to King Herod, right? They ask, hey, where's the new king, right? Herod gets really jealous about all of this. And then the Magi leave to go worship the child. And so that's the historical telling of this story. I mean, all in all, the entire story is told in 12 verses. There's only so much we can do here, you know? It's a 12-verse story, but holy cow, doesn't this story have something for us? You see, in preparation for today, I knew Epiphany Sunday was coming. I was looking at this. I went back and I reread the story. I just get re-familiar with it. I just read it over and looked at it, and for some reason, this time, I just couldn't stop thinking about the star. The star just kept drawing me in. I mean, the star is only mentioned a few times in the story. It doesn't even have any speaking parts. Right? It doesn't say anything. Right? It only serves the story in one way. It's not the Walt Disney version, right, where the star has dialogue or so. It just serves the story in one way, and that is that the star's purpose is just to say, go that way. This way. Hey, look at me. That way. That's all the star does. And then it dawned on me why I was drawn to the star. You see, the star gave the Magi something that I still pray for today. It gave them vision, direction, purpose. There, this way. See, too many times in my life, I've been like the Magi at the very beginning of the story. You know the part at the very beginning. Just completely visionless, wandering around, wandering the desert, looking up at the sky. They're just visionless. I mean, they see the star, right? When you look at the star, they see the star. But listen, they are all over the place. I mean, they're just bouncing. I mean, they don't even go to the right city where the star was leading them at the beginning of the story. I mean, they just showed up. The scripture says that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but they went to Jerusalem. And they just rolled up in Jerusalem asking for the newborn king. Hey, everybody. Hey, guys. Hey, Herod. Good to see you, bud. Hey, we're here to see the new king. I mean, they looked up there. Yeah, there's a star. Cool. All right. Let's go. They're in the wrong place. I mean, their intentions were pure. I mean, they wanted to go worship the newborn king, but it appears that they have misinterpreted the star. That when they looked up and went there first, they're in the wrong place. Which, by the way, is saying a lot, because most scholars actually believe that the Magi were astrologists. That's what they did. They looked at the stars, and they would interpret them for you. And here they come in, showing up at the wrong place. You see, their lack of clarity put them in a vulnerable situation. And they went into the wrong place. And when they realized that they had taken a wrong turn, which was made evident when Herod sent them back out to find the child for his own personal reasons, they went back to the star for guidance. Wait a minute. This is not where we're supposed to be. And so they went back to the star. But this time was different. Perhaps the star burned a little brighter, I don't know, or maybe they humbled themselves and says, well, maybe we're not as good as we thought we were, I don't know. But for all of a sudden, for some reason, this time, the path became clear. Oh, over there. That's where we're supposed to go. This is because vision produces clarity. Vision produces clarity. You see, vision takes what is muddy and gray, and it brings clarity to the path. It starts to put some light on it. Oh, that way. Now, you might be asking, now, where can I find this type of clarity? I want to experience that. I want to be like that. What kind of clarity? Listen, you, my friends, you and I are lucky. You see, we're lucky because the clarity that the Magi found that night, they had to go and actually, discern it, and there's the star. That clarity that they found has actually now been composed and neatly presented to us in this. Right here. You see, we don't have to go far to go and find the clarity except for here. And we can pull it from here. Friends, Scripture gives us clarity. If we try to make Scripture say what we want it to say, or bend it this way, or turn it that way, or maybe just kind of fit it in our way, you see, what will happen if we do that? What will happen is that we will show up at Herod's place saying, "Hey, we're here to see the king. Hey, we're here. Where's the king? We're here to worship the king. Our intentions are pure. Hey, we're here to see the king." And what's going to happen is that Herod will give us exactly what we asked for. He will show us all of the kings of the world, and we won't be able to tell the difference. Why? Because we aren't seeing clearly. You see, Paul writes in Ephesians, "I pray that the eyes of your heart see clearly, so that you may know the hope to which he has called you." There is only one place, one source that can give us true clarity, and that is the Word of God. This is it. Study material is good, commentaries are good, all that's good, but all that stuff is based off the source, the Word of God. And just so that I'm clear and I'm giving clear vision on who we are a church who will search for clarity in the written Word of God. Just want to make sure we're clear about that. Now, there was something else that I noticed that happened once the Magi received some clarity, right? So they came out, they go, "Oh, there it is, okay." There was something else I noticed that happened. See, once they knew the direction, right, they knew where they were going, the path to take, it did something to them. So they saw the clarity, they go, "Oh, right there." And see what happens when they received it, they knew what to do. It caused them to move. It caused them to take action, to move. You see, they didn't just thank the star. "Look, star, thank you for showing us the way. We'll stay here." No, that's not what they did, is it? No. They moved. This is because clarity creates movement. It creates movement. Once the path was made clear, the Magi started moving. They didn't deviate. They stayed the course. They moved. They followed it straight to where it was leading them. Now, notice that the star did not bring the child to them. They had to go to the child. Friends, movement is an unavoidable part of our faith. If we stay still, we miss the king. If we try to take shortcuts, we lose the path. But when we keep our eyes on Jesus, he creates in us a desire to move, to go, to take action. And when that happens, when this desire gets inside of us, when we experience this, when that happens, we actually don't want to be left waiting around. We want to move. We want to go. We want to be a part of it. Why? Because clarity is attractive. It's attractive. It's something everyone is searching for. I'm searching for it. You're searching for it. We all want clarity, whether it's searching for the meaning of life, right? Maybe it's discerning who your true love is. You want clarity. Is she the one? I picked it right, just so you know. She is the one. But it's, you know, that true love. Or maybe it's when we're seeking medical answers. I want some clarity, doc. What am I dealing with here? As you see, when we find it, when we find that clarity, listen, you don't even know you're doing this, but when you find it, you can't stop moving closer and closer to it. It's just, we like being around clear things, even if it scares us. Even if it scares us. I don't like the answer, but it's clear. It just draws us in. It happened to the Magi. When they saw the clear path, they started going. And friends, it still happens today. When we are on a clear path to the King, once we experience and see that clarity of what God wants from us and in our lives, once you receive whatever that calling is, whatever it may be, once you receive that clarity, it could be moving your family across country, it could be whatever it is. Once you receive that clarity and you start moving toward it, what happens is we are following the King, and clarity is attractive. So that means, I guess, the only remaining question is, right? So we've got the vision, we've got this movement, right? We've got clarity and movement. So that means that the only question remaining, at least for me it was, what happens when we get there? What happens when we're finally getting to the King? When we get to the place, what happens? Well, the Magi help us answer that question, because it happened to them. You see, the Scripture says that when they arrived at the house, when they followed the star and it took them to where they were going, it says when they arrived to the house, they did something that was a bit unusual. You see, they entered into the house, and all three of them came around, their gifts in their hands. And what the Scripture says, what they saw was Mary holding this little bitty baby, crying, wah, just a little baby sitting there. And then the three Magi looked at each other, and the Scripture says they just fell to their knees and started worshiping the child. And they just worshiped him. What a way to greet the King. Just in worship. It's not about me. This isn't about me. I don't have my list of requests for you today. Just, right, just worship. Just fall to our knees and worship. But I'm going to tell you, it was unusual. It was most unusual for the Magi, particularly because, well, none of them were Jewish. See, this little baby that she was holding, this wasn't their long-awaited Messiah. They were Magi. They probably couldn't quote the prophecies in Isaiah and Daniel, right? They couldn't say, here it is, everything's checking points, you know? No. You see, this means that the whole time that the star was out showing itself in the lights and the Magi were falling, that means this whole time the star wasn't leading Jewish prophets to the King. It was leading Gentile astrologists. Sinners. It was leading them to the house. I mean, do you know what this means? Do you know what this means? The birth of Jesus was as much for the Gentiles as it was for the Jews. We are included in the good news upon his birth. We're included in it. Not only after the resurrection. Not when the cross and then the Gentile. All right, now go and build my church. No. From the beginning. We were there. We were included. The Magi were the first of many to come. Gentiles to worship the King. Hallelujah. Man. From his first cry. Listen to me now. From his first cry on that little shoulder of Mary's, that little cry, from that cry, Jesus made sure that you were not going to be left behind. In fact, he sent a star to find you. I mean, we're not leaving them out. He sent a star to find you. And all we have to do is follow it. Okay. All right. You take the lead. I'll follow you. And the stars are this way. I'll take you to them. Follow me. And that's all we have to do. Now, I know that the Magi brought Jesus gifts that day, right? We sing about them. They're in the song, right? And we joke around about frankincense. They brought the gifts. But I'm going to tell you that I actually do think that there was a gift exchange that took place on this day. You see, I really do. This is old Captain Paul now. I really think that the Magi found the answer to that question. What is waiting for you when you finally get there? Matthew 7 says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knows, the door will be open. The Magi found what they were seeking for. Something not found in the stars, oh no. Something that could only be found in that child. The Magi found salvation. Vision brings clarity. Clarity creates movement. And movement leads to salvation. O star of wonder, star of light, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Here's what we're going to do this morning. I've asked the band to do something a little different. in a moment. In fact, you're welcome to come up now if you like. I've asked them to play a meditative piece as our closing song. Because what I want you to do is that as they're playing it, I want you to be thinking ahead of this year. Maybe clarity is what you are searching for. Maybe you're needing to get up and move a little bit. Maybe physically and spiritually. To get up and move just a little bit. Maybe it's salvation that you're really after. And so as the band plays, "Be Thou My Vision," I want you to pray for God to cast His vision on your life. The altars are open. You can come and pray up here. You can come and pray with your family. You can stay in your seat. The words will be on the screen just for you to reflect on. But as we play this as our closing piece, a meditative piece, use this time wisely. And seek after the Lord.
Thank you for listening to Refresh. Be sure to hit subscribe and like us on Facebook and YouTube to never miss an episode. If you liked what you heard, be sure to share it with your friends and family. We pray that you will be refreshed and ready to take on your week. See you next time. God bless.